So this morning we're continuing with the series, This Is My Family. And Pastor has taken through that for the past 2 weeks. And it's been really, really transforming what we've learned so far. So we're still going to go through This Is My Family this month. And when we're talking about the family that we're referring to is actually the family of God. And we learned about how we used, Pastor Benson used David as an example. That was in 2 Samuel. And he spoke about that for 2 weeks, how David was able to bring 600 men along with him and make them his family. And in the same way, in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter if we have different color of skin, different surname, different tribes, as long as we are in the kingdom of God and we have accepted Jesus, we are a family. So I'm just going to continue in that point this morning. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will encourage each one of us. And I'll just say, I think I sound like a broken record. The statement I'm about to say, if you were here on Friday, you're probably tired of me saying this. But there's something I want us to be just conscious of, and I know we are already. You know that when we come to God's house, you know, we're not just coming because it's Sunday, or we're coming because it's Sunday and that's what you're supposed to do. But you know, when you come into God's house, I tell you, the angels of the Lord have already been waiting here for you. Jesus himself is waiting for you. And when the word of God comes, it's not a story, it's not a script, it's not just a historical book. The word of God is alive. And there was something that Pastor Benson said on, it was the prayer meeting. He said when the word of God comes, the word of God is moving. We may not see it with our physical eyes, but it's walking, and the word of God is doing something to everyone sat here. Do we believe that this morning? So you've not come in vain. I just want us to have that consciousness of that. So when speaking about the family, which is God's family, there are 5 points that, by the grace of God, I'd like us to go through. And if you'd like to, you can take your notes. If not, it's fine, because this message will be on the website shortly after today. So the first point that I'd like to take us through, I'll just go through them, and then we'll look at each one individually. The first one is that it's not just Pastor Benson suggesting that you should be part of this family. Do you know that God expects us to be part of his family? That's God's expectation. The first point is God's expectation is that you belong to a family church. You don't have to belong to a certain denomination, but you need to belong to whatever family church God leads you to. The second point is that God expects us, if I use the word function, because if I say serve, people might think, oh, no, I don't want to be a pastor, I don't want to be a... But God wants us to either serve or function in his church, in his family. The church of God is his family. And then the third one is, there are benefits for belonging to his family. Not just for your life, but also the benefit belonging to God's family is for your life, for you as an individual, and you will surely experience transformation when you belong to the family of God. I think Pastor touched on that last week about transformation. That was the third point, right? Then the fourth one is, as a family, God expects us to use our gifts to help one another. You might be thinking, gifts? I don't have any gifts. Let me tell you, God has made and designed everyone. I tell you, even if it's your gift is smiling, that is a gift. We'll look at that into more detail in a moment. And then the last point is, in the family of God, we are all important. No one is better than the next person. And I think in life, generally, this last point, it really affects, I think, people in society at large anyway. But in God's family, this is a house where you can come and know that no one is better than the other. We are all equal in God's sight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to go to the first point. God's expectation is that you belong to a family. And that family is your church. Now, I know that we live in a generation now where things are different. You know, you can work from home. You can choose to go into the office. How many of us, if you're able to, like to work from home? And I hope when you work from home, have you seen those videos? You're in a meeting at work, right? And then the funniest thing that I saw someone did is, you know, when the internet is saying out of service, they stuck the word out of service. It said, oh, my video camera is not working. So many funny things that this work from home is doing. But I'm sure that as Christians, when we work from home, we concentrate fully in the meeting, right? That's not when we go cook, right? And I know Pastor said it for us women. I know it happened to me a long time. We say, we need to turn on our cameras. Give us 5 minutes. You know why? Because for some of us ladies, not all of us, we need to go and get our wig. We need to make sure, you know. But the reason why I'm going there is that in this generation, it can be so easy to say, do you know what? I'm just going to serve God from home. I'm going to log on to online church. I'm going to log on to YouTube videos. But the Bible says that we should belong to a family of God. And let's look at what God's word says about that. Can we turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25. So we're not just saying belong to a local church or because we just want the church pews to be filled, but it's actually a commandment from God. And we need to be careful that no matter the generations that come, whether it's called Gen Z or Gen A or B, God's word cannot be changed. And we need to hold fast to what God's word says. So that Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 to 25, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. So in that word there, God is encourages us that we should not, no matter how tired we get, no matter what we hear about the church of God, we should not fall into that trap of forsaking God's meeting. Then there's another scripture I'd also like us to jump to, still in that same Hebrews. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. And this scripture here, it really, really emphasizes what we said at the beginning. Do you know that every meeting that you come to, there's a purpose. You've not wasted your time. God would not call a meeting where, do you know, before we even came here, before I know God has put some workers in the house and opened this worship house early. But do you know that as we need to belong to a church of God, God has assigned angels for every church. And that angel is saying, oh, yeah, Brother Adewale, oh, you look good in your clothes. Welcome. We've been waiting for you. Ah, Brother Charles, I'm telling you. They're expecting you. Heaven is always happy when we come into God's meeting because every meeting has a purpose. And this Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborns, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to the God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So when we come into God's house, we don't just gather. The heavens gather with us. I remember there was a testimony that Apostle gave. He was just giving us an example. Do you know that when God says he calls a meeting, in God's eyes, every meeting is important. It could be choir practice. It could be the kids ministry as they're there. It could be Bible study, prayer meeting, whatever it is, as long as it's in God's name. I think Apostle was saying that, was it choir practice? Maybe the angel of the Lord came with something for an individual, but the person wasn't there. Yeah, that would not be our testimony in Jesus' name, and God is graceful. But I think what he was just trying to emphasize there is the seriousness of not forsaking God's meeting, because when we gather, the heavens, they join us as we worship. Amen. Amen. I don't know. Is the heat too hot? Shall I tell them to get some AC? Or maybe the word of God is hitting home. Yeah. Amen. And then also, what got me thinking as well, when Pastor Benson started this series, is I started thinking about the church of God. And I don't want to read it, obviously, because it's a long read. But if you read Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the seven churches. It talks about these churches in Asia. And you can go and read it. You know, they have different names, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And you know, Jesus starts to say to this church, thank you for this, you did this, but improve in that area. To this church, you did this, but improve in that area. So one of the things that dawned on me is that, do you know, God has the data of every single church. So you know, when you get to heaven, which we're all going to heaven, hallelujah. I don't know about you, we're all going to go to heaven, praise God. The angels are going to be like, you come from CFT Bristol Church, Sister Ruth, yeah. Sister Chioma, you come from that CFT Bristol Church. Like, one of the things I wrote here, I want to write it, how I put it. I wrote, from the above scriptures that we have read, we can see that God gives each of the churches an appraisal. That's what we learn about the revelation. And when God appraises the church, is he just appraising Pastor Benson? We're allowed to speak. No, he's not just appraising Pastor Benson, because each of us are a living brick. We are part of the living building. So when he's appraising the church is not complete without me, without you, without yourself. So in heaven, by the grace of God, everyone should belong to a local church. And the reason why I say that carefully is obviously there's some people who give their life to Christ on their dying bed and they've not had an opportunity to maybe join a local church. But where you have, God really encourages us and expects us to be part of a church. Amen. So the second point I'd like us to go to is just leading in, as we were talking about earlier on, the functioning in God's church, is God expects us to serve or function in his church. You know, when I use the word, I don't know, serve, I don't know, it sounds very churchy. You know what I mean by churchy? There's church language, churchy. But God expects us to function. And I wrote something here, that when God sees you or myself out there, he sees CFT Bristol Church. It's not only when we see Pastor Benson, but all of us represent CFT Bristol Church. So God wants us to serve in his house. So belonging to God's church and just being a member, we can be a member, we can come, like me. I used to be in this church in London. And let me tell you, you know what I'm doing right now? Trust me, I didn't want to do it. I didn't. I remember I made up my mind. I said, okay. I saw Apostle preaching online. I was watching back in the days. Do we still remember what Sky is? Yeah? Before Netflix came and Amazon Prime and all of them. So I was watching a Christian channel. And then Apostle came up. Apostle is the general overseer of this church. And he was teaching and he was preaching. And I said, wow, no. There's something different about this word. This guy is raw. This guy is what I need. So I remember I jumped into my car, never been to the church, and I went to New Cross. So the church has two branches in London. And I went to New Cross, and the type of chairs that they have in New Cross. Have we ever been to a cinema here before? Do you know the cinema chairs? They fold up, right? Okay. So the chair was like cinema chairs, and already I made up my mind. I said, God, I'm going to join this church. I don't want to do anything in this church, but God, even if I do anything, I think I'll join the usher. Because the ushers, there's no usher practice. I've never heard of that. Or they'd come and show people, I don't want anything that is going to trap me, God. I want to be free. And then I came, I listened to the message, and then when I left, I realized I had forgotten my Bible. And I think I sat near the front. So my Bible had been trapped in that chair. And God makes everything for a reason. I believe God made that chair for me. He made that chair trap the Bible. And so I went back to get my Bible. And as I did, the head of the choir were there. And I think I told, someone was asking me, oh, sister, you're blessed. Come on, join a department. What department do you want to join? And I was like, oh, I don't mind joining usher. And they're like, oh, usher. And then I was like, oh, let me take you to the choir. And I was like, I said usher. And they took me to the head of choir, and the rest was history. You all know when you join the choir, let me not say it because maybe some people won't want to join the choir. But I thank God. But we're talking about serving in God's house. God wants us to serve in God's house. And I'd want to take us to a scripture, because this is not my ideology. This is what God expects us to do. All right. And the scripture, I didn't take the chapter, but if you can help me out, brother, sorry to put pressure on you. I will read the word of God, but if you can find it. It says, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's fields, God's building. Verse 10. You see, this guy, he is a scholar, honestly. Can we give him a clap, please? On point. And that's him serving in God's house there. See, God knew this day would happen. Thank you for rescuing me. So that is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I started from verse 8. I'll read it again. It says, the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Verse 9, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder would suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So this is quite a lot to take in. Here, the word of God is saying that in God's house, we are his building, and he expects everyone to function. You know, and I wrote here, when we're talking about functioning, yes, there's departments, there's usher, there's choir, and what have you. But you know one thing that scared me? When I say scared me, God is not a scary monster. I mean a holy fear, obviously. Is that the Bible says that your work will be tested by fire. And that also, another thing I wanted to drive home here is that, you know, when we're serving in God's house, I wrote here, it is serious business. It's even more serious than your earthly pursuit if you have a job or if you have a business or if you're a prime minister, if you're a president, or if you're a politician. It's even much more. And one of the things I want to say, that scripture didn't say that your master's certificate will be presented before the fire, or your role as this or your role as that. It says it's what you do in the household of faith. So that's so important. And one of the things I just want to say, and I don't want to dampen our mood, but you know what? Serving in God's house is what God expects of us, and it can be in any capacity. You know, it doesn't, like me, I didn't want to. Yes, I like being in the choir, but I didn't want to be. And I wrote a few things here about serving in God's house, which I'd like to go to. So I wanted to talk about serving in God's house in different functions. So it doesn't matter whatever you do in God's house, even if just like our brother today that's doing the projection, one of the things God does is he looks at our heart when we're serving. So one of the things I just want to encourage with, don't just serve, but serve with joy. Serve with, like, people might think you're over the top, like, so sorry, Pastor Benson, I'm not knocking you. But when I joined CFT Bristol Church, I was just like, oh, Pastor Benson, like everything, I mean, you guys can bear me witness, which is a very good, it's a good spirit to have, you know? Like, even all of us, we have this folder in choir. You can testify to that. Everything is done with excellence. Do you understand what I mean? Because you know what? He takes God's work as serious business. It's not just like you take a paper and you write this. Everything is done with excellence. And when we serve in God's house, I'm telling you, God is looking. He's looking at your heart when we serve. And that scripture says that everyone, your work is going to be presented and fire will come. And you know, when it says your work could be presented, I'm like, how can you present your work? Is your work? So even more than your MBA certificate or your master's certificate or your degree certificate, your PhD certificate, master's, your accountant, your doctor, your lawyer. Do you know what? When God calls us home, when that coffin is shut and you're buried 6 foot under, I tell you, every success ends there. You see that certificate, I mean, that you paid £10,000, Harvard, all those, when the grave is shut, it finishes there. But I tell you, the work that you do for God, it transcends. Nothing can shut it. It transcends into the heavenly. I wanted to encourage us, because I know sometimes it's hard, sometimes kids, sometimes life, but let me tell you, God is marking everything you're doing, and it can be anything in God's house that you do. It doesn't have to be anything significant. And when I say significant, I think people have the idea that when you stand on here, your work is much more significant. No. Every one of us, our job in God's house, as long as we do it from a heart of cheerfulness, a heart of pleasing God and not eye service, I tell you, when it passes through fire, all of our work will be gold in Jesus' name. And just for some people saying, okay, but what about people who have not had opportunity to serve in God's house? Does that mean that, oh my God, you know, my work, what's going to happen? But I just want to read the end of that scripture so that we don't panic. Let's go back to that scripture, which was 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe. The last verse, verse 15. So it talks about all our works being burned with fire. And it says, if it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved. Okay? So even if you don't have work, but it's saying God expects there to be a work. But let's say, even if you don't, yet you will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Amen. And it's like, I don't know, the clock is not on my side today, but I'm just going to try and hurry up. So let's quickly jump to the next point. The next point I want us to talk about is the benefit of belonging to the family. So the benefit of belonging to the family is that your life and you as an individual will experience transformation. That is guaranteed. Even right now, as the word of God is coming and touching everyone, you are being transformed. You may not think you are, but I tell you, you are being transformed. You know why? Because God is always in the midst of his family. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name, what did he say? He is there. He is there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? So whenever we gather, God is in our midst. And the benefits of belonging to the church of God is, as a family, God expects us to use our gifts to help one another. And how do we know this? Let us quickly look at the church in Acts. If you can't go there, I'll just paraphrase. So there was a church in Acts that was commended for how they loved one another. Last week, God spoke through Pastor Benson about bearing with one another and loving one another. And let's look at this in action in this church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 talks about the Acts church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. It says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had in need. These people were radical. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying. I'd like us to look at that verse, verse 47. It said, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And one of the things I wrote there is, in being part of God's family, you enjoy the favor of God. And the favor of God is through men, through the men that he has given you. You know, sometimes when we hear the favor of God, I don't know, what comes to your mind? Do you think of God is going to rain down favor in rain? How do you think this favor comes? The Bible said that Esther found favor in the sight of a king. We just read there that they enjoyed the favor of God through the men that God had given in that family. And I believe God wants us to see each other as family. Do you know that the person that you're sitting next to, you can receive favor through them, information. They might know something. I'm telling you, and I can give an example, you know, and it's not to try and make someone look good or what have you. But you know what I say? I say, Pastor Benson doesn't really know why he switched from accounting to IT, but he did it because of me. God made him do that because of me. Because he said, knew one day he's going to meet a little girl called Remy, Josephine Habel, and her husband, Charles, and they're going to need some mentoring, some teaching. What am I trying to say? In the family of God, you can experience the favor of men. You don't need to look too hard. But you know what the devil tries to do? He tries to form bitterness. She looked at me that way. She did this. She borrowed me. She didn't pay this. She didn't pay that. But we just got to bear with one another, hey? Yeah? Your brother and your sister is your keeper. And so the devil wants to shut us up. Oh, I just want to go to church, take my bag. Plus Jesus minus devil, amen. Have you heard that prayer before? Yeah. And you just go. But the devil is just playing tricks. Because like the Acts church, I tell you, when we operate in love, when you bring your problem to your sister or your brother, I believe before that problem comes, God has put the answer in one of our midst. I'm telling you. You tell pastor, and pastor knows exactly the person to direct you or what to. Everything you need, God has put in your family. So one of the things that we do when we are part of a family is we enjoy the favor of men from the family that God has made us part of. And lastly, in closing, one of the things that we also need to understand when we belong to the family of God, because this is one thing, like I said earlier on, I think that puts people off. So in society, there's a lot of keeping up with the Joneses. Have you heard that term, that phrase before? Keeping up with the Joneses, rat race, and all of this. But let me tell you something. You are a royal priesthood already. That was in, I believe, in 2 Peter or 1 Peter thereabout. And I want to just say something, that in God's family, we are all important. No one is better than the next person. And there's a story that actually gives us this as an example. If we turn to Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 23, there was a lady who went to Jesus and she was trying to solicit, you know, for favor with Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 23, this woman, she was the mother of the Zebedee sons, and she came to Jesus with her sons kneeling down. She probably thought she was wise, she had strategized and everything. And Jesus asked her in verse 21, "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit on your right and the other on the left in your kingdom." And then the reply, "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." And like we were told last week, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, just paraphrasing, pastor reminded us, in the church of God, there's no Jew, there's no Gentile, there's no tribe that's more important. Oh, because, you know, if you come from where pastor comes from, pastor will pray for you a bit more. He will prophesy harder for you. No. Doesn't matter where you come from, what you look like. If you're a doctor, you're the judge, you're a prime minister. It doesn't even matter the function you lead. And I put it here. For example, maybe you find yourself in the place of leadership in the house of God. The Bible says that, there's a story that Jesus, where he washed the feet of his servants. When you find yourself as a leader, in fact, you're the greatest servant. You're there to serve the people. You're not there to lord your position on anyone. Just because you're a judge or what have you, there's no special seat. When you come in, you sit anywhere. Every seat is first class, right? It's not just, you know, I know we see some funny things in the kingdom of God, maybe because people hold certain positions, they've got bodyguards and all of that. You don't need a bodyguard because the angel of the Lord surrounds you. That's the highest bodyguard that anyone can need. But just to remind us as well, because sometimes some people say that, "Oh, I don't want to come to this church because, you know, I don't know if I'll fit in, my status or what have you." But in God's house, we are all equal. Amen. And I think I'll stop here. And just to remind us, what have we looked at today? We've looked at God's family. And we've looked at what God expects of us. Number one, God expects that we should belong to a family. I know it can be hard. God expects every Christian to belong to a local church. Number two, God expects us to function in our local church. Number three, there is a benefit of belonging to the family of God. And we talked about when we belong to the family of God, we're transformed. We talked about number four, as a family, we need to use our gifts to help one another. And I know that I mentioned on maybe some worldly gifts, but can I just add there? Do you know that sometimes God can put the matter of your sister or brother on your heart to travail in prayer? The disciples said to a man by the gate, he says, silver I do not have. But in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. God can raise you up at 12 midnight to start to pray for your brother and sister. As a family, we use our gifts to help one another. And in closing, in a family, no one is more important than the other. Amen. 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 I hope we can rise up on our feet. And you know what? We're not going to even ask God for anything. We're just going to say, Father, Lord, thank you for letting me be part of your family. Let's just begin to thank God this morning and say, Father, I thank you because I didn't call myself into this family. Lord, you called me. Thank you for making me part of this family. Whether you're part of CFT Bristol Church or whether you belong to another local church, as long as they profess the name of Jesus Christ, it is God's household. Say, Father, Lord, thank you for making me your living building. If I'm not in the family is not complete. Thank you for making me a living brick. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for giving me gifts, oh God, to serve my brothers and sisters. Father, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. Father, Lord, help me, oh God, Lord Jesus. Help me, Father, Lord, to find my place in the family. Holy Spirit, help me to find my place in the family. If there's anyone who doesn't know where they belong or what part they need to function, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you right now. Father, Lord, thank you, because this is the highest office, higher than Prime Minister, higher than any other office, to be part of God's family. Hallelujah. A job that transcends death. A job that transcends, that stands eternity. God, help me, Lord, to find my place in your family. I will not be discouraged. I will not draw back. Help me to run my race and help me to serve as you see fit in your family. And Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you give us grace. Give us grace, oh Lord, to serve in your family. And we pray that as we see you in glory and our work is presented before you, when the fire burns through, Jesus, be presented as gold in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.